Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 23. Sri Prahlada Vacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Padasevanam, Arjanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pum Sarpita Vishno Bhaktis Chen Navalakshana Kriyate Bhagavad Yada Tanmane Ditam Uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, quality, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body and mind and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person who has acquired complete knowledge. So we're on the last of the nine processes. It's called Atma Nivedanam. The word Atma Nivedanam refers to the stage at which one has no motive other than to serve the Lord. The word Atma Nivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Similarly, a cow is always devoted to the master and never acts independently, but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees therefore consider dedication of the body to the Lord the Atma Nivedanam, and as stated in the book known as Bhakti Viveka. Sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atma Nivedanam. The best example of Atma Nivedanam are found in Bali Maharaj and Maharaj Ambarish. The word Atma Nivedanam is also sometimes found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi at Dwarka. Mam Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatyade Satarne. Prahlad Maharaj said that this is the most intelligent person engages in these nine processes. But he's also told his father, Tat Sada Manye Suryavari Deinam Sada Samig Sud Vigna Dhyama Satgrahat Patatma. That my dear father, O best of the demons, that you seem to be full of anxiety, and therefore you've more or less lost your intelligence. Tatsara manye soyavari deinam sada samulbhigna diyama satkrahat hidvatmapitam griham andakupam kato varam kato yadhari ashvieta. So Prahlad Maharaj is quite fixed on this idea that if you're engaged in Krishna consciousness, you're intelligent. And if you're not, then you're a fool. Now that's me. If you go out and tell people that unless you chant Hare Krishna, you're a fool. And because we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're the most intelligent. We may not become the most popular, but we'll certainly be the most honest. People don't like to hear this. As a matter of fact, they say you're intelligent if you make money. It's not that they don't have some standard of intelligence. But they say you're intelligent if you're able to control the material world more through the acquisition of money and the utilization of your senses for gratification. So they have their idea of who's intelligent, and they think we're unintelligent. They say, who are these devotees? They're parasites. They just go out, and foolishly, they just, for hours at a time, just mindlessly chant these names because they're hypnotized. They've been chanting it so long that they've been hypnotized, and they don't even know where they are. Wherever they are, they go. They just wander all around Sylvania doing nothing. But endlessly just chanting the same thing over and over again, like a broken record. And if you ask them, they say they're very intelligent. You read their books, they're condemning everyone else. Everyone else should just mindlessly wander around Slovenia repeating the same thing over and over again. And then they'll be intelligent. So people will not understand. Yani shah sarvabhutana tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati samyami sa isha pashuto mune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is the night for the self-controlled is the time of awakening for all sentient beings. So the fact is, if we're actually devotees, we're not going to agree with the demons, the asuras. Of course, as I said, you can't use that word demon. People will criticize. Oh, this person's a fanatic. He thinks everyone in the world except for him they have two horns and a tail in the back of their head. They're always criticizing these poor people working hard just to maintain their family. And they're calling them demons. And they're just going around just saying something that no one understands, and they think they're good. Therefore it says, what is night for all sentient beings? Because our philosophy is based upon philosophy. We have a philosophy. And if people actually took the time to listen to our philosophy, they'd also lose their hair and put on these bed sheets and go around and chant the same thing over and over again like we are. So people don't want to hear it. Hear what? Our weapon, we have a weapon, it's called astra. The astra is Deinos Minita Dehe Kalmaram Yovanam Jura Tatada Hantara Praptir Diryas Tatra Namuyati. Our astra is that your body is changing. Now, the immediate reaction to what a devotee says to an ordinary person is immediately take offense to it. Are you criticizing my body? You don't like my body, therefore you're saying it's changing. But who can deny their body is changing? Who sane person could deny the fact that their body is changing? And who can deny the fact that they're the same person within the body, despite all the different changes that the body has gone through? They're the same person, and you're a person. One time, now in India especially, or all over the world, everyone is impersonals. They're personals, but they want to claim that they're impersonalists. As I mentioned before, like one time I was in a very crowded train in Bombay, and they were always crowded. And like in Hong Kong, and I guess it was in Hong Kong. Oh, it was in Japan. In Japan, the trains are so crowded that before when the stop is there, people are pushing from the back to get the people out of the car so they can get out. So the trains like that in India. You see, in India, the people ride on top of the train. And if they lose, 10 to 15 people off the top of the train, there's no big deal. There's plenty of people to replace them. So I was on the train. It was a very long train ride. Going downtown Bombay somewhere. And finally, you know, there's never any seat, but finally you get a little seat and you sit down. And then as soon as I sat down, someone sat down on top of me. That's called impersonalism. He couldn't actually accept the fact that I was a person. I looked more like a seat to him then. But even your impersonalist, there's two types. There's the materialist, who's not even interested in personalism. They're just interested in gratification of their senses. But no one could deny the fact that their body is changing, and yet they themselves, who are aware of all these changes, is always the same. Now, what science has disproved this? What science could actually prove it? What proof do we need except for our own awareness? People want proof so they can become convinced. But if you're not convinced that you're the same person that you were 15 minutes ago, then there's no proof that anyone can give you for anything, because you're crazy. Because most people are crazy. Crazy in that sense. The most obvious thing, the fact that we exist, they're not aware of that. And if they're aware of it, they don't have enough intelligence to figure out, yes, 5 minutes ago I was the same person, I'm still the same person, and 5 minutes from now, hopefully I'll be the same person. And since I'm the same person, and despite the fact that my body keeps on changing, that means I'm eternal. And if I'm eternal, what do I have to worry about? Tatsada manye suryavari dehinam. When one doesn't accept the eternality of the self, the soul, then there's something, so many things to worry about. If we love this body, and we're very concerned about this body, and we're not even concerned about ourselves, oh, who cares about myself? It's the body that's important. Everyone else is worried about their body. I should be worried about my body too. So this body has so many problems. Every moment there's a problem. And people are proud of the fact that they solved their problem, only to be presented with more problems to solve. If you become expert at solving problems, then everyone's going to come to you to solve their problems too. So if you want to live forever solving problems that you can't ultimately solve, then Krishna invites you, come to the material world, this is the perfect place to do it. So the only thing people can actually be proud of is that they're trying to solve, that they've solved some problems, they think they've solved some problems, and they become so expert that now everyone's giving them their problems to solve. That's called the president of the country. That's called the leader. You're so great, you're so wonderful, you're so fabulous, you're solving so many problems. Well, please take my problems too. I got plenty of them. Make you even greater, solving my problems. But actually our only problem, we only have one problem, is that we think we're something that we're not. We'll have a few seconds that we can all think about that. Novel thing to think about. That we only have one problem is that we're thinking we're something that we're not. And the only solution is to find out who we are. Now, the problem with that solution is that we're servants. Oh my God, a servant. That's horrible. You go to the astrologer looks at your chart and says, yeah, I figured it out. You're a servant. You're a lowly servant. You're the lowest of all the servants. You're low in the blade of grass. Really? Tell me more. This sounds fantastic. And then you go to your friend and say, you went to the astrologer, what did he tell you? You know, I want to find out myself. Yeah, he told me I'm useless. I'm worthless. He even mentioned that I'm the smallest of the small. Yeah, I want to go and see that astrologer too. That's what I want to find out, how small I am. No, everyone's trying to find out how wonderful they are. Now, you have a friend, and one day you're talking with a friend. The friend says, he takes your hand and says, Prabhu, I just want to tell you what I really think. I figured out what I really think about you. I really want to reveal my mind to you. And he goes, all right, you know, you're my friend. Tell me. You're useless. You're so insignificant, I can't even describe how insignificant you are. Not only that, but you're an illusion. You're puffed up in illusion. Your destiny right now is really dark. I can't describe how much a fool you are right now. You go, oh, Prabhu, tell me more. So that's the truth. But that's not what anyone wants to hear. So therefore, it doesn't matter how many times the speaker says, Deino Svinita Dehe, the sound vibration comes and goes, true, true. The shield. The false ego, don't worry, Prabhu, you know, we got your shield up. Bang, bing. Oh, no! Get out of here! The truth, oh, it hurts. And the fact that we're insignificant is not because I look around and say, well, I'm not so insignificant. He's pretty insignificant. I may be insignificant, but I'm more significant than he is. So I'm not the most insignificant. No, the second thing is to admit there could be a God. No, come on. All right, there's a God. But he doesn't have a face. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have legs. Yeah, he may be a God. The force. The force. Love. Love is God. As long as he's not a person who can do something. So people are envious, they just reject there could be a God who's actually powerful, has some power, has some influence, more than I do. It's like two friends of Mr. Patel, they get together and one friend says, I just went to the high court, and I saw Mr. Patel, our friend, he's become a high court judge. So the other said, Fred, no, I know it's Mr. Patel, he's a fool and rascal, he couldn't become a high court judge. No way. No, I was actually there. No, it's not possible. No, really, here's a photo. All right, so maybe he became a high court judge, but I'm sure he's not getting any salary. Yes, maybe Krishna is God, but ultimately he's, as Dr. Radha Krishna, Vice President of India, said, but ultimately, within Krishna, there is the impersonal Brahman, who's above him. So we can accept that Krishna, that we're actually eternal, and that we're eternally servants of God. And there's a God who has unlimited opulence, unlimited beauty, wealth, fame, beauty, whatever. And that we're his servants. Then we might be able to do some service for him. That if we just accept these two things. That's the only philosophy we actually have to accept. And then of course we can learn what kind of service to do. But if we accept the first two, then we can make progress in becoming expert servants. And if we don't accept the first two, then whatever we do, we're in some other never land. We're appearing to be devotees. We're actually floating around in never land. In a dreamland. Therefore, this basically, as it says in Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, everything is based upon sincerity, and sincerity is simply to understand and accept these two things. Then, what follows is like Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayo, Puchamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Vardhane, Har Karar Harir Mandir Marjanar Dishu, Shutim Chacha Chatgukta Satkatodaye. Then we can actually think about Krishna in a favorable way. We can read Krishna books sometimes and we think, oh, these are nice stories. Maybe I should tell them to my children. They can fall asleep like I do when I hear them. They're good to read at night to my children because it helps them fall asleep. Thinking about, yeah, there's this witch. She was killed by this little baby and she became 40 kilometers. Sure, right. Maybe my kid will believe it. He believes in the good fairy. He believes in Santa Claus. Why won't he believe in Putin? So unless we can understand how great Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna is, then when we think about Krishna, we don't take him very seriously. Unless we can understand that we're eternal, even if there is a God, it has nothing relevant to me because the most important thing to my life is my material existence right now. What's going to happen to me tomorrow is more important to me than what's happening in some never land where Krishna is herding cows. If I went there, I go there, and one day I ask, well, what's the news? Oh, Krishna's out herding cows. Next day, I ask, oh, Krishna's herding cows. And the next day, don't tell me. I know what's happening. Krishna's herding cows, right? I heard it before. That's why there's no newspaper here. Because it's so boring. The same thing every day, the same thing happens. I heard it once, I heard it twice. I heard it a million times. It's the same thing. It reminds me of the classes I heard before I got here. Enos me nitade, hey, kamram yo. The same thing they said every day. And although my eyes were open, I was fast asleep. Because I knew what they were going to tell me even before the class started. Matter of fact, why was this same person giving class all the time? I could have been up there. I remember the same verse. He just says the same thing. I can say it even better than he can. I have a better voice. I can make it dramatic. Keep someone awake at least. So before Atmi Nivedana, before all these different processes, as Prahlad Maharaj told his father, that you're full of anxiety. Therefore, Tatsadu Manye Soyavarya Dena Sadasamud Vigna. So you're full of anxiety. So my recommendation, griham andukupam, get out of your little well, your well of conceptions of life. Prahlad Maharaj was not against household life. He was against being in a well and keeping ourselves in this limited conception of life. And go to Vrindavan. Vanam kato yad dharim ashvieta. Go to Vrindavan, go into the forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of Vishnu. So we should do that also, try to take shelter of Krishna a little bit more every day and give up our material conceptions that, as I said before in class, you know, we walk into class, we pick up our halo, which is, you know, right near the shoes, where we put our shoes, we put it on and, yes, here I am. I'm a devotee. No, you don't have to say jai. It's all right. It's implied. We sit there and yes, yes, yes. Everything is all right. Yeah, I agree with everything. And then we walk out, and two little things come up. I feel back to my normal self. Oh, that tail.
Tuck it in.
Back to my normal self, you know, my plans for the future, my anxiety over the past, all different things. Oh yeah, Krishna, that's right, I guess still got a few rounds to catch up on, you know. I'll include Krishna somewhere in there, and then my extra six rounds, he should appear sometime a little bit. I don't know, what time is Prajnan Prabhu? Let's do something practical. No philosophy. The only mantra I like hearing nowadays is Sharira Vidya. And even that's too long. They take a long time. Why don't we shorten it? You're up there, I'm down here. Let's eat. Come on. Get with it, Prabhu. I chanted that mantra for the last 20 years. I still don't know what it means. Sharira Vishal. It's just to increase my separation from the Vishal. Get my juices working, you know. And now a little change of consciousness, a little bit more awareness. And then we can begin Atma Nivedana, actually utilizing our activities during the day in service to Krishna. So, Ambarish Maharaj, he did so many things for Krishna, and we're doing so many things for Krishna too. We just have to make sure it's for Krishna. Then it'll be Atma Nivedana. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
Well, we hope someone after he asked, he's asking a question.
They weren't expecting it. Therefore, they hid the microphone. Doesn't work.
Someone
ate it at the Sunday feast. What's the question?
First one, little comment. About India.
First comment is about India.
And they sit on you, it's not impersonalism, it's a sign of very intimate trust for you.
Never saw the guy before in my life.
Yeah, if they did not trust you, they would never sit on you. When they sit on you, they take you as a trust.
Oh, okay. Finally, after 40 years, I realized what was happening. They said after, in India, when they sit on you, it's taken. You had that experience too, so. When they sit on you, they take you as a brother. I wonder how they deal with their enemies. Okay, I'll remember the next time I'm here. Oh, brother. Don't touch me, you
And the question regarding surrender, oftentimes we have an example of Draupadi, who was protected when she raised two arms in the air. So it sounds like we should make no effort to protect ourselves based on that raising two arms. First, you try to protect herself, and then she just raised two arms, and then she leaves. On the other hand,
so the just like Draupadi, she wasn't protected until she put up both arms. So maybe we should not try and protect ourselves.
Is that the idea? Yes, maybe we should not try to protect ourselves. On the other hand, we want to help Krishna help us.
On the other hand, we want Krishna to help us.
The Prabhupada says God helps those who help themselves.
God helps those who help themselves. Krishna Prabhupada said.
How do we balance reconcile these two?
Well, we don't stop. How do we reconcile these two things? We don't stop being a servant. Now, Draupadi put up her hand, her arms. Obviously, Krishna was saying, I can't help you if you're trying to help yourself in this situation. Because Duryodhana, this Dushyasan, he's much stronger than you are. So you're trying to fight against him, you're going to lose. So the only thing you can do is put your arms up and pray for my protection, because there's no other protection right now for you. Now, in order, that means the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna was giving Draupadi intelligence. So, relying upon Krishna doesn't mean to give up our intelligence that Krishna is giving us. It means to accept Krishna's intelligence and act accordingly. That's relying upon Krishna. Then Krishna will protect us. So Krishna is always giving living entity intelligence, is willing to give the living entity intelligence if he asks for it, what he wants him to do, and then Krishna will help him. It's called Sharanagati. Doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we do what Krishna wants us to do. Then we get protected. And if we don't do what Krishna wants us to do, if we don't accept the intelligence he's giving us, then we won't be protected. Maya will take care of us. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Krandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.